This is the Soulpreneur Lifestyle Podcast, your go-to place for creative ideas on how to run your business in a way that lights you up and gives you purpose, all in a way that still allows you to live the lifestyle that you want to live. And I'm your host, Simran Bhatia. And this episode is brought to you by the Flowation.com directory of spiritual-minded healers and professionals. Imagine a resource where you can search for like-minded professionals to help you with everyday life issues, as well as to help guide you along your spiritual journey. We're launching soon, so soulpreneurs of every profession, come join the waitlist to learn how you can promote your business, products, or services on the Flowation directory at flowation.com/directory waitlist. That is flowation.com/directory waitlist. A universe of opportunities awaits you. We're talking today with Christine Lee from the Procrastination Coach about the big why behind why people procrastinate, what purpose it's serving for them energetically, and a lot of very applicable steps on how to move past that resistance you're feeling to getting done what it is you need to, and how to actually move forward and create momentum in your life by developing, you know, a new system, new habits, new mindset. And so we got into a really great discussion about how to actually go beyond procrastination to achieve what you really want to achieve. Today's guest with us is Christine Lee. She is a clinical psychologist from New York City who is known as the Procrastination Coach. And we are definitely going to discuss what you can do about it, and also maybe the interplay between your spiritual side and what's actually really going on. So thank you so much for being with me today, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me, Simran. I'm so happy to be here.
So I wanted to kind of get into, you gave me a really good overview before we started recording of all these different reasons that we actually procrastinate and what procrastination really is all about. Can you give our audience an overview of, you know, what they should be paying attention to and labeling as procrastination?
Sure, that's a wonderful question, and thanks for starting us off so well. I feel that procrastination is just our decision to put off what we actually could be doing in the present moment. So it's a very simple explanation of what happens, but of course procrastination can get very complicated within each of us. We have so many different creative ways of avoiding what we need to do and of talking ourselves out of the things that we need to do. So that's the part of procrastination that I find completely fascinating. So some things that you might want to keep more mindful about in your own behavior if you're thinking you might be procrastinating is if you think most of your thoughts have to do with fear, some sort of worry about how you're faring, about what your chances are, about how other people will receive you and your work. If you find that a lot of your thoughts and thinking time tends to be spent around the activity of worry, then I think that's a pretty good sign that you're probably inclined to procrastinate, because who wants to go forward when we're terrified? And my whole purpose of bringing this work online and to the broader public is to let people know that we don't have to work with fear in our heart. I actually feel it's a pretty bad idea to try to work well when we're feeling terrified and we're not feeling in our best self, when we're not operating from our clarity and from our creativity and from our calm. And I think that's where your work, Simran, and mine intersect, that we're looking for the whole person, we're looking for the whole spirit, and we're looking for purpose and forward movement as well. So we get the entire package. We don't, I feel like if you are a solopreneur, you're going to move forward when you bring that whole package forward very positively. People are going to be attracted to what you have to deliver and your message and your spirit. And I just want to help those people who are listening who might be procrastinating to unleash that spirit and that creativity and get rid of the fear. Another thing that for me personally was part of my procrastination and sometimes still is a sense of disorganization, a difficulty with just putting things in order, with finding the sequence, with predicting the sequence of how things might go. And of course, when we're procrastinating and trying to build a business, that sequencing tends to get delayed. We can come up with all sorts of different excuses for why this isn't going to work, why somebody else could do it better than we might be able to. And it's just so easy to hold ourselves back. And what I found in my own recovery from procrastination is that you might feel like holding yourself back, but the fun comes when you try and when you move forward, despite your fear, despite your tendency to be disorganized, despite all the things that are running through your head about better things that you could be doing with your time. So those are two things that I think your listeners should watch out for, is a sense of fear and also disorganization in your efforts.
So those are such wonderful points. And what I kind of hear you saying is like this description of what's known in the law of attraction community really as resistance. Like if you are experiencing any kind of resistance, it might be your need for certainty. It might be your need to control the outcome, or, you know, as you mentioned, disorganization. That's a big one for me. I feel like you're speaking directly to me. Just all of the kind of negative emotions that you end up feeling, they actually are just a mask for procrastination.
Yes, they, I think, are a mask, and also they fuel procrastination, because that negativity is really difficult to let go of, because it tends to take over. I learned this in graduate school for psychology, that it's when we're anxious, anxiety tends to just, it doesn't stay in the corner, it kind of takes up the whole room if you let it. And I think it's the same with negative thoughts and worry and things like low self-esteem, that if we just sit there and mull it over, it's just going to get bigger and larger and more daunting and more paralyzing. And so that's why I feel we need to be very active on a daily basis in our efforts to boost our self-esteem, to boost our confidence, to take action, to get support in therapy or coaching or on a podcast, and to make sure that we remember how valuable we are and how lovely we are and how, what miracles each of us are. What's the use of staying in the corner feeling low when really there's so much opportunity and fun that we can be having?
That's a wonderful sentiment. So now, what if you have someone who has spiraled out of control, though, with their procrastination? They are deep in the muck. And simultaneously, they know they have a greater purpose in life. They understand that if they could just break through that thinking a little bit, even, there would be some massive shifts in their life. What's your suggestion for them in terms of, like, what's the first step to really confronting your procrastination and then eliminating it eventually?
I tend to recommend simplicity and small steps, taking small steps. And I think those two topics go hand in hand. To talk about simplicity first, I think when we're feeling cluttered by stuff, when we're feeling cluttered by worry in our heads, it's really difficult to even see what action might need to be taken. So one of the first things that I have people do is just to simplify what it all feels like and looks like. So one example I use to teach people is, if I give you the choice between sorting 100 pieces of paper that don't have anything to do with each other and sorting three, you're immediately going to ask for the three pieces of paper task instead of the 100 task. And it's the same with the brain. It's the same with tasks that we have on our to-do list. Let's simplify what we need to put our focus on. And then our ego and our brain and our bodies can focus, can align, get into alignment and get that energy to move forward. When we're stuck in a negative position, when we're stuck under the burden of procrastination and delay, it's really difficult to move forward. So we just want to let go of each piece of negativity, each piece of clutter, one by one, simplifying as we go, and also being patient with ourselves. So that's that small step technique, which is when we're building businesses, when we're starting new projects, when we're thinking bigger for ourselves, we can cast the big vision quite large, and we can see where we can eventually get to. But to take each step that needs to be taken oftentimes is much, much smaller. Sometimes they're even microcosmic, where other people might not even notice that you've made progress. But until we start that forward moving process, we're not going to be able to even get close to that bigger vision. So we need to allow ourselves to scale back rather than to jump forward sometimes. I know it's you've spoken in past episodes about limiting beliefs. This is, I agree with you, it's really important to know our limiting beliefs and to keep moving forward and try to smash those limiting beliefs. And we also have to be okay with the idea that sometimes progress happens because we're taking small but consistent and meaningful steps. You don't have to be embarrassed that, oh, I just wrote a page today instead of writing the 10 that I should have, because guess what? You have a page more than you did before, and that page is going to get you to the 10.
I love what you just said, because I have a little reminder on the home screen of my phone that says small consistent actions, because I believe, and I've seen this umpteen times as a coach, that people forget that the only way progress actually does happen is those small consistent actions and steps. I have dealt so often with, you know, people as an attorney and also as a small business coach who have their 10-year vision for their business and have yet to incorporate their business. And they like have no LLC in place, no bank account in place, but they're like, hey, I brought this to my coaching session. And I'm like, let's take a step back and let's just talk about something you can do this week to actually create something real. And so I love what you said there about that. So now you mentioned something that I think will be very applicable to the audience, which was the SMAC solution for procrastination recovery. Can you go more in depth into what that is and what the individual steps are?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And thanks for mentioning it. It's SMAC, and the letters S-M-A-C-K stand for Simplicity, Mindfulness, Anxiety Reduction, Communication, and Kindness to Self. And I'll go through each letter, but I feel like I just covered the simplicity topic in our last question. So S is for simplicity, and that just means get every element of your life to be a little more simple. That is your morning routine. That is your mindset. That is your morning commute. That is the way you deal with your household and how it flows. Just try to make everything a little bit easier on yourself. It doesn't mean you're a slacker or that you're lazy. It just means you're smart, I think. It means that you don't want complications in your life if you can avoid them. The second letter is M for mindfulness. And for me, mindfulness simply means just training your brain focus on what is happening in the present moment. And that, of course, can be a difficult task sometimes, depending on the number of distractions and the level of our fear. But I think when we train ourselves to get comfortable with accepting what is actually happening, we tend to get less lost in our way. We tend to get less diverted and less distracted and less demoralized by things, because there are certain facts and realities that we have to cope with. Like you said a minute ago, if you don't have an LLC and you want to build a business, that is always going to be a problem. That's always going to remain a fact that bothers you, that gets in your way, that makes you feel a little unprepared or unprotected. And I'm grateful that there are people like you who can help business owners get those undone tasks that are really important taken care of. So when we're acting mindfully, we know that there are problems that need to get taken care of, and we know that we are enough to handle them because we are taking care of things as they happen instead of letting them pile up. The letter A stands for anxiety reduction, and I feel that as a psychologist, that's my entire purpose for working with my clients, and that's my entire, I guess, framework. I learned very early on in my training that anxiety, like I said before, just can become monstrous if we let it. And so anxiety reduction needs to be just as regular as breathing, I think. We need to be careful about irrational thoughts that we might have, irrational fears, about scaring ourselves into inaction. Because for me, one of the scariest things that I can do is convince myself that no action needs to be taken. Because I can waste months, I can waste more than a few months even, if I don't have the right get up and go and attitude about what I need to do. So whatever it is for you, and we're all different and special and unique in this way, take care of your anxiety. It might be getting some more exercise. It might be going and finding a therapist. It might be reducing your to-do list and your expectations of yourself. There are so many different ways that we can use. The letter C stands for communication, and I think this is kind of the unsung hero of procrastination recovery. Procrastinators tend to go into hiding when they feel like they're not enough and when they feel like their work isn't going to get done on time or it's not going to get done well. And I just encourage all of my clients to learn how to communicate in a spot-on kind of way, and that means communicating directly, openly, honestly, and even when you feel completely ashamed and embarrassed. So that's an important tip not to forget. So remember the SMAC listing. So far we have simplicity, mindfulness, anxiety reduction, and communication. So check within your own habit stack. What are you afraid of telling other people? Are you afraid of telling other people what you might need? Are you afraid of telling other people what you might want? Are you afraid of promoting your new product? Are you afraid of talking about yourself to other people in ways that might seem confident? Just check in with yourself and do that review, and then boost your confidence by communicating better. The final letter is K, and that I think might be the most important factor of the whole solution, and that is showing kindness to yourself. I think procrastination, if you've been knee deep in it like I have, can be just a massive excuse, to beat ourselves up. And I think procrastinators sometimes have become too used to being cruel to themselves and being unreasonable with themselves and believing that there's no better way of living and operating and working. And I just am here to tell you, you need to be kind to yourself in order for things to go beautifully well. And of course, all of us want things to go better. So let's be kind to ourselves first. You don't have to wait until your project is done to be happy with yourself and happy with your life and your opportunities. Let's start with that optimism. And like Simran coaches us, that feeling that we can attract what we put out. So let's put out really good kindness, positivity, and love towards ourselves and towards others.
I think this is such a wonderful, all-encompassing solution that really addresses all the different tiny little variables that actually go into why someone has resistance to actually do what they think they're supposed to be doing. I want to speak a little bit to the anxiety reduction and get into that a bit. You said something really interesting, that the anxiety can create a situation where someone just decides to step into inaction completely, thinking that that will protect them from the outcome or the consequences of actually taking the action. And from a very, like, you know, vibrational marketing and or law of attraction kind of standpoint, I'm going to give an example. I've seen this a lot in my former life as an estate planner, that people think that if they just don't draw up a will or their guardianship documents for their kids, nothing will happen to them. And to me, what I've seen is it's actually, you know, from a vibration, figuring out what's going on inside yourself actually eliminates the need from the universe to hand you that lesson. That inaction is actually what's attracting the lesson in the first place, because then you do need to eventually deal with the emotions that are there. So what would your tip be for somebody who is, you know, of the mindset that, okay, I understand, I have to move from inaction to action. What's the first thing they can do to really start coping tangibly with their anxiety?
I love your example of the people who leave their wills undone, because I think it's a great example of how we can keep our problems for an extended amount of time. And like you explained so beautifully, we're basically expressing a vibration of I'm having problems to the universe, and the universe is going to give back what it's hearing and receiving. And we want to stop that chain of events from moving along in this negative pathway where we are saddled with that negativity and that stress and that feeling like there's an unfinished loop in our lives, as important as a will and as important as finding guardianship for our children or setting that up. And so to answer your question of what can we do tangibly to change these patterns and to let go of that negativity and to let go of that distress. And I think there's so many different tangible things that we can do. We can set targets for ourselves. That's one thing that I'm really getting into lately, is getting real targets set, knowing what you're aiming for. So if your aim is to get your will done so that you can breathe again, so you can get on a plane without worrying you may never come back to your family and that your estate's going to be a big mess, you know, decide how you're going to do it, who's the lawyer you're going to use, what date do you want this done by, what people do you need to call to collaborate with and to discuss guardianship with or discuss durable power of attorney issues with, or any of those other estate matters, and then set a date. If I haven't already said that, I made a list, but I forgot which. But the date is really important. It's you want to make that target really seeable, knowable, write-downable. You want to put that in your planner. So, and you want to keep that on your phone, and you want to put that in your schedule. You want to make things happen in a step-by-step way without overwhelming yourself. That's the trick, I think. Procrastinators fail to not overwhelm themselves. They start feeling overwhelmed by the task, and then there's no plan that gets put into place. Now, this can sound simple as day, but of course, with matters that are emotionally fraught, like setting up your will, we can get really tripped up. We can let everything else feel like it's more important. So the other thing that you need to do is you need to stop doing that thought excuse experiment where you can say, oh, I need to go get groceries instead of calling my lawyer and making that appointment. You can do both in a single day. That's another side tip, by the way, that we can do more with our time than we think we can. So you can both make an important phone call and get your groceries without overwhelming yourself. It's just retraining yourself away from that experience that if you do more than one important thing, you're going to get overwhelmed.
So I want to loop back this all together with what you talked about with communication. You mentioned that people can end up hiding because they feel like maybe they aren't meeting their deadline, or, you know, something is going on there that makes them feel ashamed. So they stop communicating effectively. Now, what you just talked about, you know, the tangible solution is to set a deadline, have a target. How does that all work together? Because my experience of people who are very big procrastinators is they set really big targets, and then they miss their target, and then they roll into shame, and then they stop communicating. To tie that all together. So when we're talking about moving from inaction to action as the biggest part of eliminating your procrastination, how do you teach them to set, you know, reasonable targets, not like New Year's resolution level, like I am going to do, you know, lose 100 pounds this year, but really just I'm going to eat slightly healthier today. Like, how do you coach them through that process of it's okay to have a deadline, it's okay if the deadline passes to not freak out, and to be holistic about this whole process with themselves? I think that kind of ties into the kindness to self as well, but what's your take on that?
That's a fabulous question and a fabulous way to talk more deeply, I think, about how the SMAC system can work. And I agree with you that each of the elements of the SMAC system kind of feed into the others. So you can work on any one element and find that you're going to make some forward moving progress. And I love how you described that chain of events where we start fearful, then we set this enormous target, and then we go into a cycle of inaction, shame, feeling badly about ourselves, and continuing to procrastinate. And I think you really hit the nail on the head there, that we may be kind of reconfirming our inner thoughts about ourselves, our inner beliefs that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy, that we're not capable, that we don't have what it takes. And of course, those inner thoughts are different and specific to us, but they can be there. They can be really enormous. They can actually take up a lot of space in our hearts and souls, and can, of course, then affect our thoughts, actions, and everything else, all the results that we are able to attain for ourselves or not attain. So part of how I work with people is just to support them. It's standard therapy, actually, in a way, is to support people to where they know they can go. I think we each know we have potential that is enormous. Each of us is, no matter how much you're procrastinating or how effective you are, we all have outsized potential. So let's have some more fun with it. Let's not have the whole conversation be about what you're worried about. Let's see what you can do before your next session next week or by the end of the day today. So to make it more fun, to make it more tangible for the person who's thinking about changing, that, wow, you can enjoy this result really quickly. You don't have to wait until December of this year to realize your New Year's resolution. You can start making progress in January. And to let people know that it's also okay to fail. That's something that we haven't spoken about today yet. And that failure is part of flowing. Failure is part of knowing. Failure is part of being. And we can't eliminate that from our experience at all. It's an important part of learning and moving through life, is to know that we can't be good at everything and not everything is going to go beautifully. And just to use your language from before, you mentioned about just facing what's real. And I think that's really what therapy and coaching is about, is really just saying, okay, what are we really dealing with here? Let's get out of the fantasy mentality and deal with real time. And I think when we deal with time in realistic ways, time tends to cooperate with us in this kind of the universe has our back kind of way, I myself have experienced that I've never had more time than when I'm not procrastinating. We think we are saving ourselves time and energy and pain by procrastinating, but what it ends up doing is just wastes all of our good time and then makes us feel lower than low. And I just want to help everyone to know that you can convert over to this happy, fulfilled, confident part of your own life and your own personality and style. We each have to go that journey, and we each may have different time frames of doing that. But I think as we mature, the need to do that gets bigger and bigger, because there's just so much that we want to do as we grow older in life.
I love what you said. I was laughing to myself that I've never had more time than when I'm not procrastinating, because I experience that as well, where it's like there's all this resistance. It's occupying my mind so much. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't feel like I got enough done. And it's like, why didn't that happen? It's like, because you just spent so much time in the procrastination and wasted the time. So that brings me to a question I asked you before we started recording. I'd love to talk about the interplay between procrastination and what we refer to as divine timing. You gave me a great perspective on that. Do you mind sharing that with the audience?
Sure, I would be happy to, and I'm glad we talked about that before we started recording, because I think we can ignore and forget the fact that the universe is also a player in our lives. We can think, oh, it's just my to-do list, or it's just my job, or it's just Tuesday. But really, the universe is in full operation around us and for us. And I think when we release ourselves from this negativity, from this heavy burden of self-doubt, and from our to-dos that are 3 years old, then we allow the universe to come in and play. We allow the universe to provide us the things that we need, including opportunity, including energy, including people who are now recognizing that we're here to play for real. We're here to play big and strong, and for in a really trustworthy, reliable way. We're going to show up for our lives and for other people in our lives. And I feel that's, for me, that's the definition of divine timing. When we are fully present in the present moment and open in our hearts and minds to what can come without fear and without dread and with gratitude. So that's a lot. It can sound like a lot, but when you practice that, it actually can feel like, oh, this is like my natural state. This is my open state. This is the state that I can click into when I want to, when I need to, and when I want to feel like my best self, and when I want to show other people what I can do, what I'm capable of, and when I want to attract the best people into my life, the people that I care about, the people I'm aligned with, the people that get me, the people that don't question my motives or my intentions. They just understand.
That is a really great perspective. And I totally agree with you that when you are in that kind of alignment energy, the divine timing happens easier than when you are in that resistant procrastination energy. And so now let's say someone actually, you know, has taken the steps, they've made some progress, and now they want to carry forward that momentum of eliminating this procrastination kind of energy from their life. You mentioned something about our habits. Can you speak more to how having the right habits or the lack of habits can actually set the foundation for being able to overcome this need to procrastinate?
Sure. I'm happy to. Recently, I've developed another acronym, so it's not just MAC. I have come up with the three F's, the letter F. And the first F is for fear, so that we need to identify what our fear is that is keeping us back, or that fear pattern, or that thought pattern that is preventing us from moving forward. The second F is focus, and that is that setting that target idea that I discussed a couple minutes ago. Knowing where you're headed can really help you to just put your feet in the ground and say, okay, I'm heading there. I am not going to stop until I get there. It may take a while, but I know where I'm headed. It's like going to get your favorite taco at your favorite restaurant. You know how to get there, and nothing's going to stop you. But then the third F, I think, is going to help me answer the question that you had, which is the flow. And I know you talk about flow quite a bit on your podcast. And that is the segment of the three F's that I think gets too little attention. We fail to remember sometimes that consistency is going to get us there. It's not just developing one habit. It's developing a whole string of habits that will keep us headed towards our favorite taco restaurant, that target that we have. Yeah, we don't let things get in our way. Things can happen. Our worry thoughts can come into our mind. We're never going to let those things distract us fully from getting to our target. And we're going to work every single thing. We're going to track our behaviors. We're going to be mindful of behaviors. We're going to enjoy the opportunity to be different in our behaviors, because we get better results when we identify our fear, identify our focus, and then continue in flow, where we know that this is all one large system that we're setting up for our lives, so that we can attain all the objectives that we set for ourselves.
That is the failure that you mentioned earlier. How do you coach people through the process of taking failure as momentum versus, you know, the end all be all reason to go back to their procrastination habits?
Great question. I think it's just like therapy. Once you experience a little bit of it, it will be difficult to let it go, because you feel so good that you've made progress and that you're clear all of a sudden on the things that have been bugging you for years. And it's the same with taking action, that once you get clear that, wow, it's safe for me to move forward, I don't have to worry so much, and I actually know what I'm doing, and people are starting to listen to me and ask me how I'm doing what I'm doing, that you're going to be much less inclined to go back to that closet of failure and hopelessness and dread and darkness and isolation. I mean, who really wants to be there? Who really, really, really in their heart of hearts wants to procrastinate all day long? I think people do. And I think once you get a taste of what it's like to just be in that really funky flow, we don't want to go back.
That is a great point. So now, as we start to wrap up, what can you share with our listeners today? Really is just kind of the overarching theme of what they should take away from what you've discussed, or anything that you maybe didn't get to mention just yet. What do you want to leave them with?
Thank you for this opportunity, Simran, first of all, and for giving me this chance to say one more thing, and that is that we are all capable of so much change and creativity in our own lives, for our own lives. And it's something that is optional. So no one's forcing you to make these changes, big and small. But the great thing is that you're the manager, you're the boss there, and you can take the reins now. So I just want to encourage everyone to go for your big vision, set that big goal, and then take those small steps, and you will get there.
I think that's wonderful advice and very, very tangible. Instead of just, you know, being kind of highfalutin out there. If you're listening in and this is resonating with you, please make sure that you kind of replay that part that Christine is saying. You know, it's okay to start small.
And it's the small, consistent actions that are actually going to get you past whatever you're experiencing right now, if there is procrastination going on in your life. So I'm sure now you already know what I'm about to ask you. You said when you'd heard some of the podcast episodes, my favorite question for the season is to ask, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, I actually did not know that question, but I am happy to answer that one. I'm a big sweets person. I have loved Häagen-Dazs. It's Swiss almond chocolate, and they took it away. They, for some reason, discontinued that flavor, but that will always be, in the history of ice cream for me, the most divine flavor ever made. that combination of almond and chocolate and that smoothness of Häagen-Dazs ice cream, this is not an ad, will always be a wonderful memory for me. And I just love anything sweet. But you know, these days, I try to be mindful about how much I'm taking, trying to maintain that feeling of calm, as well as enjoying the sweet of life at the same time.
Oh, no, I was saying, I totally feel you on that, because I feel like my all-time favorite is butterscotch, and it's so hard to find. And so I get what you're saying. You know, they discontinued it. It kind of leaves a pang in your heart.
Yes. It's like a tragedy.
And so now, as we are wrapping up, where can people find you online?
Thank you for asking. I am everywhere on social media as Procrastination Coach, and my website and homepage is procrastinationcoach.com, where I have a blog and different offerings for free there. I also want to offer your listeners one of those free offerings, and that is, it's called my free resource library, and it's stacked with 12 downloadable tools and templates that your listeners can use right away and put their thoughts down, put their fears down, put their desires down. So there's something in there for everyone who might be struggling with getting things done. And the way to get that is to text the word free library, all caps, no space, so it's a little complicated, free library, F-R-E-E, L-I-B-R-A-R-Y, no space, all capital letters, to the number 44222. Again, text the word free library to the number 44222. And not only will you be able to get this free library, but we'll be able to stay in touch. And I would love that because I think your audience is like a go-getter audience. And an audience that has real heart and purpose. And I love working with people who really want to get things done in the world.
That is wonderful. And thank you. We will definitely include that in the show notes. So if you're looking for information on how to get that special gift, then please check there. This has been really insightful, Christine. I really appreciate it. You know, I hope it's been useful for everybody listening. I think even if you get over just paralyzing procrastination, it's still a part of our sometimes daily lives that we don't even identify always. And so this is a great way to bring that to light and just say, hey, I need to actually get on with things. And so thank you so much for helping guide everybody in the right direction.
Thank you, Simran, for being such a wonderful host and asking such beautiful, insightful, deep questions, and for helping me to think a little bit more deeply on the topic myself. I, again, wish you and your listeners all the best.
I want to say a big thank you for listening in. Without your support, there wouldn't be a podcast. If you've gained insight or inspiration from this podcast, please subscribe for regular updates, and please share this podcast with someone you know who will benefit. Do you have a story to share about your own soulpreneur lifestyle that you've set up? Have a life or business problem you'd love a system for? Or want to be an anonymous caller for one of our live segments? Then go to your Anchor app or the Anchor website, find this show, and click on Message and record your story or question. You can also find the show notes on our website at flowation.com/TSLP. That's flowation.com/TSLP. And subscribe to the TSLP Insider to get a look behind the scenes of what it takes to bring this podcast to life. And get some exclusive offers that are only available to our email subscribers. Also, don't forget to follow @Flowation on Instagram to get updates about this podcast.